It's very hard to develop what the poet Keats called negative capability. Negative capability is to remain in uncertainty without, he said, this irritable desire to make things conclusive, for this searching after fact and reason. And know that you're going to be in the darkness for a while. It's very hard not to peek in the back of the book to see what happens, or fast forward to see the end of the story, because then you feel relieved. It's like hearing the final chord of a piece. Before you hear that final chord, you're in an uncertain state, and then it resolves everything and you're fine. And that same impulse works in larger things as well. It's uncomfortable not to know what the story is about, if the story is of your life or the story is of those you love, and so we search for grand theories that will make everything clear and explainable, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. And even if we need an accumulation of detail to fill in the theory, at least we know generally what the world is about. For Marx, it's about economics. For Freud, it's about sex. For Adler, it's about power. For Becker, it's about death. But at least they all have a theory. And once you've got a theory, then you can move forward. So this morning, I bring you a theory. It's a theory about what all of Judaism is about. And by extension, what life is about spiritually in general. It's not my theory. It's actually the theory of the Talmud. It says that God didn't give the Jews the mitzvot, the Torah, the commandments, except for one reason. Bilvad, it says only for one reason were we given the mitzvot. Rak litzaref et habriot, which means just to refine God's creatures. In other words, to grow your soul. That's what it's all about. Everything from the music to the learning to the teaching to the behavior to everything is for one purpose. It is all, if you will, and I hope you will, a spiritual stimulus package, which in these days of monetary and spiritual depletion, we desperately need. And if you will go with me with this kitschy title for just a minute, I have four pieces to the spiritual stimulus package. And you may object that, in fact, the problem is that my stimulus package depends on you, right? It's not goods that's going to be dispensed by the synagogue. But I will remind you that everything that the government gives you ultimately has to come from your pocket anyway. And I'm just eliminating the middleman. So, in fact, the spiritual stimulus package is what we might call the truth in advertising stimulus package. This is something that you have to do to jumpstart spirituality in your life and in our community at a time when, especially because of the difficulty of things in the world, people ought to re-explore the part of themselves that is not dependent on the stuff we have, but rather on the stuff we are. The first comes from this morning's Parsha, Truma, and it's all about giving. Because the truth is that nothing grows one's own soul as much as taking care of another's. There is an automatic impulse in a time of economic downturn to give less or to not give. And what I want to remind you is that there is a core of meanness, that means smallness, pettiness, selfishness, in all our souls. All of us have it. And if you don't give, that core grows. It just does. And it doesn't make it easier to give tomorrow or the next day or next week. In fact, so much does the Jewish tradition believe this, that in Jewish law, when you give alms, when you give charity, when you give tzedakah to a beggar, according to Jewish law, the first thing that that beggar is supposed to do is turn around and give some of it to someone less fortunate than he. Because everyone needs to validate the usefulness of their mission in this world. Everyone needs to give. Giving grows your soul. So if your first impulse, when someone comes to you for tzedakah in these days, is to say, look, I can't, you know, there's a downturn, I'm telling you that that's not an economic decision, it's a spiritual decision. Because in all the years that I have spent raising money for various causes in the community, I have never had somebody come to me and say, you know why I'm broke? Because I gave too much tzedakah. Never. I have had people say it in advance of giving. I can't give this to you because I can't afford it. That I've heard. But I've never heard someone say afterwards, you know what? I gave so much, I'm broke. So first of all, if you want to grow your soul, don't stop giving. Don't do it. It's a mistake, not just for the people who will receive it, who need it, but it's a mistake for you. Second, if you want to connect to something beyond yourself, you do it the same way that you connect to people around you. You want to have a friend, you reach out your hand. You want to stay close to people who are far away, you call. You want to have a relationship with God, you return to ritual. Ritual, lighting candles, tefillah, prayer, all those things, that is the language that we speak to God. We don't only speak it to each other, we speak it to God. And if you want a sense of God in your life, don't wait for a presence of God in your life to light candles. Rather, light candles, because that will help bring God. In other words, the emotion follows the action. It's true with giving. You may not feel like giving, but once you give, you will feel the satisfaction of giving. You may not feel God in your life, but once you act as though God is in your life, you will discover the stirrings of relationship inside you. Sometimes the best way to be faithful is to act faithful, and you will discover faithfulness in yourself. That means being filled with faith. Third, havdalah, separation. What you're practicing right now. That's why we don't allow cell phones in the synagogue. It's not because we're mean. It's not because we don't want you to be in touch with people you love. It's because we're trying to create a sacred space where you don't have to stand next to somebody having a cell phone conversation like you do everywhere else in the world, everywhere. Because you have to be able to separate yourself from the everydayness of life, or you will not have the space to grow your soul. Abraham Joshua Heschel, in his book on this Shabbat, said it beautifully. He said, the urgent interferes with the important. What is important is that you grow your soul and then somebody says, I gotta talk to you right away. Or you're having a family dinner and the phone rings. And you can't stand not answering the phone. Because this is going to be the call, of course, that will tell you that you won the Nobel Prize and the lottery, right? This is going to be the call, and they won't leave a message. So you got to answer the phone, because that's more important or more urgent than what is important, which is to gather together and have a moment as a family. That's why you got to have the television on, because God forbid you should miss the fire that broke out tonight. Exactly. It's just babble. You need to be able to carve out that space on Shabbat and in the world, because you can fill your life with the urgent and never do what is important. It's easy to do. And it gets easier every day with the internet and with television and with iPods and with Game Boys and with all these things. You can spend your entire life being diverted and never have a conversation with another soul and never have a moment when you think about what the purpose of your life is and never appreciate the fact that people around you are in need or suffering. because the diversions, the bells and whistles and glitz and shine of all the various toys that we have created, they can keep us occupied all day long. Day after day, for a lifetime. But if you do that, then you've forgotten the grand theory, Rak Letzarefet HaBriot. It is to grow your soul, not to make time pass. Because your eye should be on a farther horizon than what am I going to do to kill the next hour. Remember Thoreau, who went away to Walden so that he could live simply? He wrote in Walden, as if I could kill time without injuring eternity. Time is the most precious commodity we have. It seems a shame to use it on what you know is worthless just to make it pass. And lastly, I point out that in the Mishkan this morning, the tabernacle, all the parts are removable except the staves by which they carried the box of the commandments. And the reason, the rabbis say, is because you should know that the commandments are always, in every time, in every age, portable. They go everywhere. You can always learn them. In other words, set aside time for learning. What important, outside of your business and outside of your profession, what important have you deepened yourself in that you didn't know 6 months ago or a year ago? In what way have you stretched yourself? Have you learned anything, for example, about the Torah that you didn't know? Have you read a book or taken a class? Have you grown and deepened? Rak Letzarefet HaBriot. That is, after all, the only reason we're here. It's just to grow our souls. And when you're done, when your time is over, what is it that you want to sum up your life? That you watched more hours of television? That you spent more time on your cell phone? That you made more deals? That you accumulated more toys? Or that you loved and were loved by more people? That you grew deeper in what you learned? That you refined what you believed? That you gave to others and help them have some of the opportunities that were given to you? That's the grand theory. That all of this, all of the pageantry, all of the pain, all of the joy, and everyone else, all of it is so that we can grow our souls. So that when we return to God, we can say that the soul you have given me is deepened, elevated, more burnished, more beautiful than when you first gave it. Yes, it is burdened with some misdeeds, some cruelties, some sins, some sadness. But it is beautified by learning, by giving, and by love. That is, after all, why we're here, how we will be judged, and, if we're wise, how we will judge ourselves. Shabbat Shalom.